It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Greetings, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Big Apple Hockey, where, you know, we're going to have a great quick show because I am working tonight. And I am your host, Mark Williams, who picked up the Wednesday night shift. Come on down. Boss Croker's wing night is tonight. It's always a great time. Joined by a man who I know from Boss Croker's, Mr. John Fulkowski.
Isn't it funny how Boss Croker's is the formulation, really, of Big Apple Hockey? It's amazing that you're talking about going there, and then it just ends up being the friggin' the reason why this whole thing kind of got together. But definitely happy that it's Wednesday. Means we're only one day away from Rangers hockey again. I'll have your shoe back on tomorrow. I'll turn that over to the third member of our show.
Yes, the Islander correspondent for the fourth period, Mr. Anthony LaRocco.
Why is the background all black today, Mark? You trying out something new here?
Where's the background all black? Because I got the background right here.
Really? I see on my end, there's just all black behind all of us, not the typical.
I think you're the only one that's seeing that, bud.
All right, so that's the good news.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good me news, then. Man. All right.
I was so getting strange. A little bit scared when you said that, Anthony. So it's. I meticulously trying to plan all this out a little bit early for a Mark mess up to go there. But first things first, guys, even though I'm going to categorize it as breaking news, it's really not anymore. Before we get to the A block, Ottawa Senators fire Pierre Dorion and Steve Staios takes over as the new GM. Guys, this is after news that they were going to lose for a first round draft pick today. Really quick, and just your thoughts on this, guys.
I'll give the floor to Anthony first. Let Anthony have it.
Obviously, I think everyone was surprised. I mean, no one really saw this coming. I think it's certainly a reaction from the news today about having to forfeit, a first round pick, either this year or the following 2 years for. The Donoff trade and what happened with that. And maybe a little bit of Pinto in the cap, but I think mostly it's probably losing the first round pick. But Dorion out again, surprised. This is a guy that's, he's had his ups and downs in his tenure in Ottawa for sure. They've been a bad team for the majority of those years. I mean, there were a couple of years where they got close with, and they had Carlson and Stone, but then they went into a rebuild. However, though, I look at this a little differently. I mean, I think Pierre Dorion, look where the Senators are now. He added, Brady Tkachuk, and, he swung the trade for Erik Karlsson, which got them Josh Norris and ultimately Tim Stützle. He signed Claude Giroux, drafted Jake Sanderson, Batherson. He's got all these guys, and they got a formidable team now. So I think he's done a lot of good with turning that Senators franchise around from, when he had the clean house, when he traded Carlson, Duchesne, Carlson, Duchesne, Stone, et cetera. So, but at the same time, he's made some questionable decisions too. So again, I am surprised by this, but I'm kind of like down the middle in terms of if it was warranted or not. Truth be told,
Philip, what do you think? Was it warranted?
I mean, when you screw up a trade that badly, like something that's pretty basic, like getting a trade in before that deadline and actually getting the deal done, and you lose a first round pick over it, I'd imagine the owner is not going to be happy about that, or the president in that matter, because, I mean, obviously they have to report to the president, who's right above them, and then the owner, who's above the president, above all.
And he was not happy this afternoon. And,
oh, no, not happy at all. So, yeah, I do think it's warranted to an extent. I mean, Anthony is right. Dorian has helped turn this team around. But Dorian also has a questionable past of making deals that are not so good. Can we just throw a name out there just for reference? Mika Zibanejad. Does that name sound familiar? Pierre Dorian was the one who authorized that trade to New York, and he's been kicking himself ever since, because Mika Zibanejad has turned into an absolute superstar, and Derek Brassard is, I don't even think, in the league anymore. So
he was there for 1 year. So
but. Again, Dorian's had a past, and this is kind of just a conglomerate of things coming together, and that's just the final straw for, you know, Pierre Dorian in Ottawa. So I do think that he's going to get picked up by somebody else. The next team that ends up needing a general manager will probably go to Dorian, because recently he's done well, like Anthony has said, for Ottawa. He's brought in a lot of young talent. Stutzla, Norris, Tkachuk. You know, Batherson, a lot of these guys are all Dorian's doing. So I do like what he did there. Sanderson, another one that's all him. So I do think Dorian will get a job sooner than later somewhere else.
Well, because if you were drafted by Ottawa, you have a long-term $8 million contract right now, unless your name is Shane Pinto. So
Not really his fault,
but yeah. I'm sorry, Phil. You got the hammer with a restricted free agent. That Shane Pinto thing is a nightmare. That's an absolute nightmare. And that's one thing I'll point to him and go, you should have handled that before you signed Vladimir Tarasenko.
Willie Nylander. I mean, does that nightmare sound familiar too?
Yeah.
And I mean, Mark, that's certainly true based on Tarasenko's age and Pinto. But however, I mean, the early dividends is paying off, as Tarasenko has been off to a good start with Ottawa. He's producing. But I get your point, though. I mean, when he signed Tarasenko, that essentially took up all the cap space he had left. He wasn't able to sign Pinto. So a little bit of mismanagement there on his part. But like Phil said, you can't blame the Pinto situation on him, though. That's not on him.
Then who am I blaming it on? Before we get away from that, I wanted to go through this quickly. Who am I blaming it on then?
All right, so take part of the blame for mismanaging their cap. I'll give you that part of it. But Pinto wants money. And like you said, you put the hammer to the guy that doesn't have the leverage, right? That's correct. What Dorian was doing. So while
Pinto looks around and sees everybody else getting paid.
I understand that. But you're just telling me in one sentence, you want the GM to put the hammer on the player, correct?
Correct.
That's what he's doing.
Both things can be true.
And that's why I'm saying – he only deserves some of the blame. Yeah, you know what? Fine. Let's blame Canada. We'll go to the South Park. Let's blame Canada.
I mean, Mark, you want to say who do you blame? You blame Pinto for, you know, doing something with gambling that wasn't kosher, and the league, if you want to say they came down.
That's a different story, and you were right about that, Anthony.
But that's who to blame, not Pierre. Pierre Dorian has nothing to do with the whole suspension gambling aspect of it.
Wasn't under contract and in camp.
But even if he was in contract under their camp, he's going to get suspended for gambling anyway. So what's the point?
You still have the player signed. So that way he's ready to go. Now you got to wait.
So he's still suspended, and then his cap is going to still count. Because suspended cap, it's going to count. So what does that matter? Ottawa's still in cap trouble. If you want to blame him for not moving Matthew Joseph and giving up a first-round draft pick, okay, fine. He's bent over a barrel in that aspect. But would you really want to do that, to move a young player just to move that cap hit? Because Matthew Joseph is not a negative asset.
No.
The fact that Ottawa is bent over a barrel cap-wise is the problem. And that's where I will blame Dorian.
I think if Joseph only had 1 year left on his deal, I think this would have been an easy trade to make. But he's got two or three years left on his contract. So, you know, 3 years at a little over $2 million for some teams, that's just too rich.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we're going to have a little bit of differences of opinions on that. I don't view Dorian as this genius that, like, I'm reading about a little bit today.
I don't either.
Yeah. So
nobody's, I don't know who's making him out to be a genius. He's not a genius. Yeah. He will get a job soon, though, I tell you, with the work that he's done recently.
Yeah, well, hopefully he doesn't lie about anything else and lose another draft pick. That's a big thing, too. You can't lose first-round draft picks.
No, so I mean, that's
not getting a job anytime soon because of that.
That part is surely all on him.
All right. Guys, let's get to the A block. We're going to have to go quickly on this one. But the A block is powered by SeatGeek. Use the promo code BigAppleHockey, $20 off your first order. And it goes with the New York Rangers, who were 3-0 last week, wins over Edmonton, Vancouver, and Winnipeg, and the New York Islanders, who were 2-0-1, 5 out of 6 points, and they had wins over Columbus and Ottawa. Funny, we're mentioning Ottawa plenty of times in this A block. And a great comeback to get a point out of Detroit, because they had gotten to, sure. Phil, what are your positive and negative takeaways from this week?
Well, I'm going to start with the Rangers. The only thing that I could really point to that was negative was that they were outplayed in the last two games of that trip. I mean, that's really it. Otherwise, they were firing on all cylinders. Mika Zibanejad got going. Artemi Panarin had. If you ask me right now who should win the Hart Trophy, it's Artemi Panarin. And I know you're going to call me a homer and say, oh, well, Jack Hughes is leading the NHL in scoring. Okay, fine. Jack Hughes is, but Artemi Panarin is the play driver for the Rangers, and the Rangers are the team winning that division right now. The Devils are a leaky team, and Jack Hughes is not a great defensive player. While he's not a slouch, he's not a great one either. Artemi Panarin is playing top-level hockey right now, and he's doing it with two young players on his line, which is just amazing. So Peter Laviolette pushed all the right buttons. If you want coach of the year, it's Peter Laviolette right now for me. Again, call me a homer all you want, but that's the guy right now. Otherwise, you know what? They looked a little groggy towards the end of that road trip, but Adam Fox is playing Norris caliber hockey again. He's leading all defensemen in scoring. Jonathan Quick, Benoit Allaire is a god. Let's just throw that out there right now. We can never doubt this guy ever again because he just does it from time to time to time. We all thought Cook, thought Quick was cooked. Absolutely cooked. We agree to that, right?
Yep. Yep.
And what is Jonathan Quick doing? 2-0, and he leads the league in save percentage right now.
And goals against average, if you want to be technical.
And that's also why you can't preseason. It's hard. It's hard to, you know, come out with some takes based on preseason hockey, because preseason hockey, I said, Mark, numerous times, it doesn't really matter personally. For me, it's just about watching how the young guys look and if they're ready. The veterans, a lot of them, just kind of go through the motions in the preseason. So, he's played two games, so we gotta lower it a little bit. He's looked good in the games that he's played and the mop up relief that he appeared in. So yes, technically three against Nashville, he looked good. But we'll see how it continues. But right now, he's looking good for sure, no doubt about it.
But here's what I was gonna get to. You talk about preseason. I said Blake Wheeler was cooked in preseason. He is absolutely cooked.
Yep.
He needs to sit. Tyler Pitnick needs to come in. And I'm happy that he got his nice, you know, welcome back in Winnipeg. Great. That part's over. Sit this guy. He cannot skate. He is behind the play at all times. He is a negative out there. And that line would be even better if they had someone that could skate on that line, on that third line. The Rangers' fourth line is the only other negative, and maybe Braden Schneider, if you want to talk about Braden Schneider. So
this is interesting because Jay Fresh, who's the analytical guy on X, you know, he basically put up his chart saying that the Rangers need to be better 5-on-5. So NYR for life is on to something here, because the Rangers do have to improve their 5-on-5 game.
They don't, though. The three lines are really good. The first three lines are all really good at 5-on-5. It's the fourth line that is horrendous that brings that overall number down. Did you look at the numbers on that fourth line?
I didn't.
Zero offense.
Yeah, they're like a strictly, I think if I remember your words correctly, Phil, they're strictly defensive on all that.
They're like a 2000 defensive checking fourth line where they're just blocking a bunch of shots. They remind me of like the Rangers HMO line from 2006 and 2007, the Hallweg Moore Ortmeier line, and how they would just go out there and if they got a goal, you jump through the ceiling because you didn't expect that from them.
All right, but moving on to the Islanders, Anthony, you look at them 2-0-1 this week. They were quite impressive. The game against Detroit leave a sour taste in your mouth? You look over and go 5 out of 6 points. Just keep them going.
I mean, you listen, anytime you lose a 2-0 lead, you're never happy. But on the flip side of that, you know, their power play actually came through when it was needed and tied the game with 2 minutes left. So it's like, you know, they went from winning to it looks like where they're going to get no points. And then they scored a big goal and secured a point. So it's kind of a little bit of both. But the circle, if you for the Islander world here, a lot of the talk is on Lane Lambert and just him right now not being a good coach and pushing the right buttons, because a lot of the decisions he's making is a little bit of a head scratcher. It was 2-0 game. The Islanders are completely controlling the play, and he opted to take Barzal off the top line to get the third line going and put Wahlstrom back up on the first line. And then after they made that switch, you know, Detroit turned the momentum, and it's just, they didn't lose the game because of that. But the point is he's constantly making decisions in his coaching style that, you know, leave you wondering like, why would you do that at that point? You have the game in play. There's no need to mess with any of your lines or mess with any of your chemistry. But he seems like he's a guy that doesn't really have his finger on the pulse right now. I know the players on the ice determine the outcome of the game, but I think it's, you know, his job to kind of settle them down in certain situations, and they're just making some uncharacteristic mistakes and showing lapses that I don't like. But you are right though, Mark, they had a good week, 2-0-1 overall, you know, 4-2-2. So you can't be too upset with the team right now. You know, they're right there. I really like how Noah Dobson's producing offensively. He's got 9 points. You know, so he's up there amongst the, you know, top 10 in defenseman scoring. You know, this is a guy that,
Dobson in a minute,
you know, we were talking about earlier in the offseason if he could take the next step and be even more than a 50-point defenseman. And on the offensive side of things, he's certainly showing that he can, because the way he's producing right now, I like his game. He's confident in his own end. I mean, that's another story. He's still got things to clean up. But that game, not the last game against Detroit, the game prior to that, he played the best game I've ever seen him play in both ends of the ice. And I said in our group chat, that's what he needs to do more consistently, and he'll be a truly elite defenseman. So if he can have more nights like that, the Islanders will be in good shape. But I like how he's going. Kyle Palmieri, surprisingly, is producing for them. That's big for secondary scoring. He was at a point per game prior to the last game. I don't know if he still is, but he might be close to it.
No, he's 7 points in 8 games now.
Okay. But he's going. He's producing. You know, Horvat and Barzal, they're buzzing out there. They're getting their chances. Horvat's scoring. So all that's good. I still want to see him clean up the defensive side of the game, because, I mean, the mistakes they're making and leaving Sorokin out to dry, where the guy has to make a Gumby save. That save he made on DeBrincat in overtime before Detroit ultimately scored. I mean, I thought that was in the net, and he got across and got his pad on it. But the fact that they're giving up these chances and he's constantly having to bail him out, it's not really sustainable. And then what you see later in the game, Horvat turned the puck over, play goes the other way, and Dobson drops to his feet, which I'm a proponent of. You got to stay on your feet. When you go to the ground, you're taking yourself out of the play. He went on the ground, pass beat him, and then it was an empty net tap-in for Raymond. So they just need to be better with the puck and take better care of the puck in their own zone. But again, overall, 4-2-2, I'll take it to start the year.
Phil, last thought on the Islanders. What do you think?
Still leaky defensively. I don't like the as much as you like the fact that Dobson's scoring, you don't like the fact that he's leading the team in scoring with 9 points. You want more out of your other guys. Anders Lee, 2 points, mm-hmm. not good enough. John Gabriel Pageau, 2 points, no goals, not good enough. I could go down this lineup and just tell you a bunch of guys who really need to kind of like step their play up here. You need more from Brock Nelson. 4 goals in 8 games is nice, but 5 points, that's a guy that should have 7-8 points right now. Should be close to a point per game player. You're getting decently, oddly enough, a lot out of Casey Zizekas, who's got 4 points in 8 games. And Cal Clutterbuck, same thing, both 2 goals, 4 points. But you want more out of Pierre Engvall, who's playing in a top six role. Bo Horvat's been a nice surprise. But again, Anders Lee, you need more of, and you need more scoring otherwise. So Islanders just need to kind of get everything together in their own end, figure that part of it out, and stop having Ilya Sorokin bail them out 17 times a night, because the chances they're giving up are just unacceptable for them.
And he is bailing them out a lot. I mean, just with the game Tuesday night against the Avalanche, he made 2 or 3 saves that you looked over and you're just like, how the hell does he manage to do that? John hesitated a little bit on that. I think Anders Lee is going to score 28 goals. I say that because he scores 28 goals almost every single year. So just don't worry about that.
I don't know this year. You know, he's playing on the third line with Pageau, who's not really producing a lot of offense right now. And then he's on the second power play unit now, whereas in years past, he's been on the first power play unit. So, we'll see. He did reunite Barzal, Horvat, and Lee the other night, so we'll see if that sticks. But I'm hopeful. But, yeah, he needs to show more, though, right now, because he's not getting enough.
Simply put. And as it were being mentioned right there, everybody, make sure you are leaving a like if you are not subscribed. Make sure you subscribe. We got a lot of good hockey content, and we're only making more. My visit to Arizona coming soon. I went to Mullet Arena. So let's.
The Moulet.
Yeah. Well, it was
as Tyson Nash calls it, the Moulet.
Yeah. But guys, we're going to take a quick moment for DraftKings, and in honor of Halloween, we're going to do some NHL trick or treats.
Hockey fans, light the lamp this winter with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. New customers can bet just $5 pregame money line on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. If that wasn't enough excitement, you can turn small bets into bigger payouts with same game parlays. Combine multiple bets like which team will win, how many goals will be scored, and more for your shot at an even bigger payout. Download the DraftKings Sports app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet $5 on any NHL team to win their game and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at the DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN.
Calm down. Get a hold of yourself.
Doctor, you're wanted on the phone.
Chill.
Simmer down now.
I'm freaking out.
We're going to work on a new segment for that, a new opening, but right now, this is just what we got. I figured throwing under the our impulsive reactions, because NHL tricks or treats, we're going to be going over some things that have been happening in the league, maybe some trends. Is it a trick or is it a treat? We're going to start with the Anaheim Ducks. Frank Vatrano has got 9 goals so far. Anthony, is it a trick or a treat?
I mean, it's a trick. I will say, I think Vatrano has found a home in Anaheim. I think, you know, he certainly could be a guy that scores 20 goals for them. Maybe even 25, but he's scoring at a torrid pace right now. I mean, you're talking, you know, over 50. That's not going to continue. That's not going to continue. But I do like him. I think he's a solid player, but it's a trick.
Phil, what do you think?
Absolutely a trick. He's shooting at 29% right now and has 9 goals in 9 games. He's had 2 hat tricks in the span of a week. It's obviously a trick. Good player. Would love to have him back in New York at the right price. He's going to fetch a pretty penny if Anaheim decides to deal him by the deadline. But I'll tell you right now, this is not sustainable. Alexander Ovechkin, career high in shooting percentage, 15.4% in the 2019-20 season. 15.4. That's the greatest goal scorer ever right there. So, no, this is absolutely a trick.
And I'm going to go make it a hat trick of tricks, guys, because it is a trick. And it's, look, Frank Vatrano, man, this guy has got a lot of talent. He could really shoot the puck. He could shoot the puck through the net. But, no, it's definitely a trick. He's career high in goals, 24. Maybe he gets a 30 this year. I certainly hope so. I don't think he's going for the rocket unless he's going to channel his inner Jonathan Chichu. And he would still need Joe Thornton to pass him the puck on that one.
Yeah.
All right. The Carolina Hurricanes, their goalies, all of them combined, .858 save percentage. Filk, is this a trick or a treat?
This is also a trick. I can't see Anderson being this bad for so long. Kochetkov is actually a decent goalie too. Ranta hurt, whatever, but this is not gonna stay like this. Maybe Freddie Anderson isn't posting a .920 save percentage this year. Maybe he doesn't even reach .915, but I still think he probably gets to about 91%. I do wonder about that team though, with Brett Pesce being out long term.
That does hurt things a lot. Anthony, what do you think? Is this a trick or a treat?
Yeah, this is a trick. This is a team that uncharacteristically has struggled with their defensive play. I mean, that's not what Rod Brind'Amour is about. They're going to get this turned around. I'm pretty confident of that. It's a trick.
Barring a line from Ranger Central in the chat, this is a layup trick yet again, and really a hat trick because, look, it's Rod Brind'Amour. I'll put my faith in Rod Brind'Amour. The save percentages go up. Now, when it gets to the playoffs, I'm not sure if I'm going to be exactly comfortable with those three goalies playing the way they are right now. They will get a little bit better. The Detroit Red Wings, they have Dylan Larkin, 4th in the NHL in scoring. He's got 15 points. Trick or a treat? Guys, you know what? Something's different about Dylan Larkin this year. I'm actually going to go treat on this because I think Dylan Larkin, he's playing really well. Do I think he's going to be 4th in scoring? No, but I think he's going to make some noise in the scoring race. Philk, what do you think?
I wish there was a middle ground option for this because it's not a trick, but it's also not a treat. I don't see him scoring 100 points, but if you told me that Dylan Larkin would end this season around 85 points, I wouldn't be shocked. This line is arguably the best line in hockey right now. With him, Raymond, and DeBrincat. Mm-hmm. So, I'm for the game itself. I'm gonna go treat just because I don't think that this is something that's just gonna completely fall off.
Yeah, if it was bar talk, it's an easy beer. So that's a good thing about having two options. You're forced into this one. Anthony, which one do you think?
I'm going to go treat. I mean, this is a guy that came from high pedigree. He had 79 points last year. I mean, this isn't the case of, again, Frank Vatrano having 9 goals. Dylan Larkin is a very skilled player, and he's had a really good year. So I'm not saying he's going to score 100 points, but I still think this is a treat. He's a good player.
Well, speaking about a middle ground, maybe that could have helped out on this one because look at the best team – in the Eastern Conference right now. I got my head cold. Come on.
I was laughing at the other comment, Scott, the one that said, hold on, I have to find it now. Why is Mark still wearing his Halloween mask?
No. All right. But let's look at the best team in the Eastern Conference right now, the Boston Bruins, 8-0-1. Anthony, is this a trick or a treat?
I think it's, you know, it's almost 10 games in. I think it's enough of a sample size to say like, okay, well, you know, maybe we're a little bit wrong about them not being good. But with that said, I'm still going to say trick, though, because, again, the majority of their teams they've beat have been bad teams. You know, like I said, they beat Chicago twice. You know, they actually lost to Anaheim the second time they played them, but they beat Anaheim, they beat San Jose. They haven't been playing very, you know, good teams. I mean, their most impressive win was probably either the Kings, I guess, or maybe the Panthers. I think they played the Panthers recently. So I want to see them, you know, kind of, you know, consistently start to play some better opponents and see what their record is. But I mean, you don't want to be a hater. You can't deny 8-0-1 is great. I still just think this is a little bit of a trick.
Philk, what do you think?
Why does Anthony have to go first and say all the things that I want to say? I mean, look at their schedule. They beat Chicago. Okay, Nashville may be a better team than we all thought, but they beat them, and Nashville wasn't slated to be a good team. San Jose, garbage. They're still winless. LA was probably their best win of the season. They beat Florida in overtime. They beat Detroit 4-1. Actually, Detroit might be their best game of the season.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
they beat a good Detroit team. Detroit's proving to be a pretty good team so far. So they beat like one or two good teams, and the rest of the teams that they've played are pretty weak. So I'm not totally sold on this yet. I'm going to say trick.
I wish that I had a middle ground on this one, but it's going to force me on something. I'm going to have to go treat right now, and that's just because I'm with you guys. I want to see more out of them, but I think they set the blueprint for what they're going to do. They're going to be a low-scoring team that will beat you defensively all day, and if that's what their blueprint is, that's what they're going to try to win with. It might just work.
Yeah, Pastrnak at 14 points already, so yeah.
Yeah, and also, guys, the last one, another team that off to a good start, the Vancouver Canucks, 6-2-1. Philk, trick or treat? Anthony can't take your answer now.
I'm going to have to say treat. Something about this team looks different in the way that they're playing their games. I mean, they battled the Rangers. And yeah, the Rangers, I know, I said they were groggy. They looked like they were at the end of a road trip. But they battled the Rangers. I watched them again last night, and they were playing Nashville. Nashville played them hard. They played them real hard, and they battled in that game. Those two teams absolutely went at each other tooth and nail. So I think Vancouver may be for real. And Elias Pettersson may not be going anywhere anytime soon because he might see the progress that they want to see in order to keep him.
Anthony, what do you think?
I'm going to go treat too. I like what I see out of him. I think Pettersson's poised to have another monster year following up his, you know, 100-point year last year. You know, Rick Tocchet has a fresh start, you know, with a, you know, new start of team, fresh from camp right off the get-go. I think he's earned their respect. I think he has the room. And they got other good pieces. You know, Quinn Hughes playing well, JT Miller. You know, they Kuzmenko, they got good pieces, and I think it's kind of starting to come together for them.
Guys, I'm going to treat all the way. They were my surprise team going into the season. I said that they were going to be the last team to get into the playoffs, and you know what? I'm going to go with that. Healthy Thatcher Demko, Elias Pettersson playing on a extremely high level. He's up there with the league leaders in scoring. And I want to put a question for this. We'll discuss it at the time. Quinn Hughes, he just might be throwing his hat into the ring for the Norris Trophy. So that is it for our tricks or treats, guys. What do you think about them? And did you have some of your own? We'll see if we can get some of those in the comments later, although we are very pressed for time today. And let's go do some bar talk.
Shot. This is the easiest I've ever to answer.
I'm going to say beer. I can't even begin to describe.
I'm actually going to go crazy. I'm going to buy everybody around on this one. And welcome back, everybody, to Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk, where we are gauging our confidence on NHL topics based on our choice of drink. Are you so confident that you're buying everybody around? So I'll have a beer. Oh, God, I need a shot. And back to the layup talk. Well, you know what? You know what? Ranger Central Core, you're going to have one coming at you. And we'll have the fastest bar talk. That's how much of a layup it is. The fastest question.
this one.
No. I'm not using that one. No. You guys are playing along in the comments down below. And also, why go to the liquor store where you can make a Drizzly Nights? Order it now. I actually had a promo code for you, but click the link down below. And don't forget the Big Apple Hockey shirts and hats that are available. Are you guys ready for the fastest bar talk topic we will ever have? Jonathan Quick allowed one goal in three appearances. Jonathan Quick has solidified the Rangers' backup position. Go, Philk.
Press the damn button.
Since we all agreed on it in the beginning, we'll just skip right ahead to another guy that we mentioned in the beginning. Mr. LaRocco, Noah Dobson, 2 goals, 7 assists this season. And the young Islander defenseman will crack 60 points.
So his 9 points is 2 points shy of the lead in Hughes and Fox with 11. I think this is, 23 years old. I think this is a natural progression of a kid who's getting more confident offensively with the puck. I see no reason why he doesn't hit 60. So, I'm going to say around here.
All right, Phil, what do you think? Noah Dobson, 60 points.
I want to say round. I'm not entirely sure. It's a real good start. He looks better. He looks like he's even more confident with the puck than he's been in previous years. I think Anthony may be right about the progression and the trajectory of his play. So I want to say round, but I can't fully say it with conviction, so I'm only going to say beer.
And I'm just going to go with the simple math. We're 10 games in, and if at that, only one team has played 10 games. So really, you got there's plenty more left to go in the season. I forgot to do the rest of the math on it. I think there's 73 games to go, 73 games. So I'm going to say in those 73 games, he can manage to get 51 points. He'll get the 60 points. So I'm gonna go with this and say cheers. Although Islanders, they better keep bringing that offense. If it gets to that January swoon that they had last year, he's going to have no shot at it. All right, guys, Nicklas Backstrom is going to step away from the team for health concerns right now. Nicklas Backstrom, if he retires and doesn't play another game, is a Hockey Hall of Famer. Philk?
Beer. I look at his numbers. He's just short of a point per game for his career. He cracked the 1,000-point mark. One of the better Swedish players of all time, so I do think that's going to work in his favor. 2 world championship gold medals, a silver medal in Sochi in 2014. I really just wonder about, him not having any individual accomplishments. There's no Calder Trophy. There's no Hart Trophy. He has a 100-point season. And he was never really among the game's elite like the Sedins were. The Sedins were considered among the game's elite for a while. Backstrom was never really considered that way. And I know a lot of people look at him as a beneficiary of having Alex Ovechkin on his wing. Not really big goal-scoring seasons from him, more of a playmaker. Had some Selke finishes where it was around like 10 or so, 10 to 15. But not one of the best two-way players. So I got to say beer. I think the gold medals in the world championships and the silver medal in Sochi will probably end up getting him in. But I have to agree with this here. If Vincent Danfous isn't one, why is Nicklas Backstrom one? That to me is – that's what I want to know.
Yeah, Vinny Danfous – certainly up there as a great player. Anthony, what do you think? Back you get in?
I think the simple answer here is beer. He does have he cracked the century mark in points, got over 1,000 points, like Phil said, near point per game, somewhat close. Stanley Cup, he has some international success. I guess it depends on how they want to look at it. I mean, there's a guy that had 60 assist seasons, a bunch of other 50 plus assist seasons. in the prime of his career, I would say he was probably top five in the league in like setup men. I mean, Crosby, Sedin, some other guys. I mean, Backstrom was one of the best passers in the league, like I said, when he was in his prime. It's close. It's close. Like I said, he doesn't have any individual hardware, but he does have the points on his side, and he's got a cup. So, I mean, maybe being linked to Ovechkin could help him. Maybe, silly as that sounds, I don't know. But I can't say for sure he gets in, so I got to say beer here.
I'll be the one that goes definitive on this, guys. I think he ends up just making it, and that's why I'm going to go with a round on this one. I think he's going to have just enough international stuff, just enough points. He's going to make it off of Ovechkin's coattails a little bit. Not that he's not a great player. We all think Nick Backstrom's a great player. I just think that when it comes to him, he's good with the media. He's got a great personality. You've seen it in all those commercials. Like that Mass Mutual commercial was hilarious with him and Ovechkin. This guy, he's got a good relationship with the media, and that helps. I would say if he's borderline, that would push him over the top. That's just
well. I got to ask you this: does Ryan Getzlaf gets in because he has similar point totals, Stanley Cup, no individual hardware,
and gold medals. Don't forget that.
That's the type of player
he's got two gold medals, Ryan Getzlaf.
Yeah,
and don't forget his World Juniors.
Yeah.
Like so he was good in World Juniors. I think
Getzlaf will probably get in on the account of having more gold medals. That I do think Backstrom will eventually get in because of the fact that he has those two World Championship gold medals and the silver medal at Sochi. So,
well, on top of that, he was able to play behind the greatest goaltender of all time. I don't want to say his name because obviously, when he was playing in international competition, because I don't want to sound like I'm slamming Carey Price. Anyway, going over to Alex DeBrincat, tied for the league lead in goals with 9. Alex DeBrincat will score 50 goals this season.
Well, he scored 40 twice. So he has the pedigree. Again, this isn't Frank Petrano here we're talking about.
Who had a career high of 24 goals.
Yeah, you know, you know what? What the hell? I'll say round.
All right.
He's a really good player. He's maybe you call him reinvigorated, not getting out of Ottawa. He's playing for where he wanted to be, his hometown. Seems like he has great chemistry with Larkin. Detroit's a little more of an exciting team this year. He's going to get all the opportunities, prime minutes. So, I mean, why not? When you shoot the puck the way he does, you certainly have a chance.
Falk, what do you think?
I'm going to go beer. I do think it's very possible that he does it. I can't definitively say it, though. Just with that line, though, that line is playing some great, great hockey. The only thing that I don't like about that line is that those players can be a little perimeter at times. And I wonder when they start facing some tough teams and, you know, they start playing some tight-checking physical teams, how they react to that style of play. So far, they've been well with it. But I really do wonder. And not only that, another thing that actually works in their favor is that Moritz Seider is one of the top scoring defensemen in the NHL right now. He's close to a point per game. So with him taking that next step offensively, that actually helps to bring it as well because they're all together on that power play. Mm-hmm. So I wonder how these trends go. And if they continue, then, yeah, it's definitely very possible that he does it, but I can't say any of that for sure right now, so I can only go with beer.
If I originally thought about asking this for 40, I thought that was too much of a layup.
Yeah, that was a layup, bud.
Guys, I got to go 50. I'm buying rounds for everybody right now tonight. I won't be at work. Sorry, everyone. well, technically, I will. There are buybacks. But I just don't know. I think you got to project that out with injuries and stuff like that. He started off hot and then really hasn't done much for the last week. I hope he does. I actually hope he does do it, but I am going to say that I do think he will do it, and I'll say it like that. Guys, the Anaheim Ducks have actually played really well. They've won four in a row. They're now 5-4 in the Pacific, and they've beaten some pretty good teams like the Boston Bruins and Pittsburgh. it was hard for me to say the words good team right now because I really wanted to stay away from slamming them for a week. Guys, the Ducks are a playoff contender, Mr. Falkowski.
I'm going to say shock. I don't think they're there yet. I like the makeup of the team, and I like the direction that the team is going in, but Mason McTavish has 11 points so far. You're going to, and so does Ryan Schroeder. You're telling me that's going to continue? Frank Vatrano, obviously, we talked about him. 9 goals already in 10 points in 9 games, shooting 29%. Mason McTavish is shooting 20% right now. I just don't think either of that and Ryan Strome at this point are sustainable numbers. Pavel Minyakov, rookie defenseman, looks really good so far.
Yes, he does.
I really like his play. Very, very, very happy with him. Troy Terry needs to pick up the goal scoring slack, so that's something that could go in their favor. But I don't like what I'm seeing so far in terms of like numbers that I think are sustainable with this team. So no, but I think next year they make a couple of my right moves in the offseason, bring in some guys. They could definitely make the playoffs next year.
Anthony, what do you think?
You know, I'm going to go beer. I mean, right now, very early on, but they're in the first wild card spot. Arizona's second behind them. But take a look at the teams out of the playoff picture right now chasing them. Nashville, Minnesota, Seattle, St. Louis, Chicago, Edmonton, Calgary, San Jose. Guys, a lot of those teams are flawed as well. That you could look at any one of those teams and you could be like, well, you know, their goaltending isn't good. They're just simply not good. Or, you know, they can't score. Like, all these teams have some flaws. Like St. Louis, we all know about them. You know, Seattle's kind of looking like maybe they were one-hit wonder. You know, Calgary and Edmonton are struggling out of the gate. Obviously, you know, San Jose and Chicago are dreadful. You know, Nashville and Minnesota are kind of like, eh, you really don't know which way they're going to go. So I think they have a chance just based on, again, right now it's early, but a lot of the teams in the West just kind of look eh. So, you know, if these young kids full of, you know, youth and speed can keep this up and, you know, make it close, that they'll at least have a shot. So that's why I'm going to go beer.
I'm going to go beer as well because I am kind of sold a little bit on this Leo Carlson conditioning or whatever they're doing with him. Every other game he takes off and they're hoping to turn him. Yeah. They're hoping to turn him loose in the second half. So that looks good. John Gibson was making saves last week and his numbers were facing the shooter. So that's stuff that doesn't normally happen. Well, yeah, San Jose will be okay. Bunch of young players coached by David Quinn. What could possibly go wrong?
What couldn't go wrong is what you meant to say.
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry, I was reading it quickly for the audience.
No, no, I know. I meant for Pete, not you.
Okay, but you got to look at this, and you know, if the extra players linked in their lineup, they could be good. Maybe Radko Gudas is bringing some experience that he had with Florida, making everybody a little bit more positive. You know, they might challenge for a playoff spot, but they're also not trying to. So if they go on a skid, that won't be so bad. They're still about 10th in the league in most shots or most saves against per game. So we'll see about that one. Hopefully they can keep this going. Hey, guys, did you know that the Heritage Classic was this weekend? Because I don't think anybody else did south of the border. The NHL should discontinue the Heritage Classic. Anthony, I'll always start with you on this.
I mean, shot. I'm pretty indifferent about it. I think people in Canada obviously like it, you know, so it's an annual thing that they do for the Canadian teams, you know, in late October, early November. I mean, no skin off my back. I mean, it doesn't bother me that maybe it doesn't get a lot of recognition. Let's just keep doing it.
Phil, what do you think?
I'm going to say shot just because I don't think it's a good idea to discontinue an outdoor game. I just think they need to do a better job at advertising it and promoting it. The thing is that it's always going to be tough for them to get a bunch of eyes on this game unless you have somebody that's larger than life, you know, playing in that game. And
you mean like Connor McDavid?
Have a player that comes close to that in Connor McDavid, but he's got a questionable personality for that, and he is kind of having a pedestrian type season. I mean, he's only on pace for 123 points. So, I mean, 9 points in six games, it's pedestrian for Connor McDavid right now. But, I mean, he came back for the game. Edmonton won. They scored 5 goals. And that's why I was kind of thinking about that one before with Anaheim. Do we really think that Edmonton is just going to continue to stay down where they are with McDavid coming back early? I don't think so. But you need to not do it on a Sunday night where there's football going. It needs to be done on a different night if you're going to do it during football season. And that's what I said about the Frozen Frenzy. Frozen Frenzy needs to be on a weekend when football season, both college and NFL, are done. So,
and look, the Frozen Frenzy was a complete success.
Yeah.
So let me start with this, though. I'm going to go shot. I'm going to go right there with you guys. So it's a hat trick of shots, guys, because – no, it's meant more for north of the border. That's one thing. But the other part of it is, you know, they really just need to move it to, say, December or maybe even February. I have the outdoor games never go up against football. They move the winter.
The problem is, you know how cold it's going to be in Alberta in February? As it is, it was freezing in, you know, October. They can't. There's no way they could do the Heritage Classic.
So then there needs to be a weeknight game.
February.
Yeah, then do it on a Wednesday night.
Yeah, it needs to be a weeknight game. Yeah. Then.
It was already a TNT game because Jackie Redmond interviewed Connor McDavid at the end.
I agree with this. It should have been done on a Friday night. Why?
Friday
why
night too. I mean, game? What are you competing against?
WWE SmackDown.
Yeah, or just I was gonna say like. Division II college, that's what I was thinking, but words wouldn't come out of my mouth. Or is it, I always forget what they call those like secondary college teams, guys. We actually made great time, so let's throw this one out there, which is Quinn Hughes has 11 points and leading the NHL in that category. Quinn Hughes is a Norris Trophy candidate, and the guys I alluded to it in the A block, I'm gonna put him, he's right there right now. And he's going to make that candidacy all year. Let's see if he can keep it going. Wouldn't it be great if Jack won the MVP and Quinn won the Norris? Just, you know, thoughts. Phil?
I gotta hop off to get Ella, so
Anthony, quick answer that.
Real quickly though, I mean it's too early. I mean right now his points are there. I'll say beer. But if you know Vancouver is a playoff team, you know, and he could be at a, I don't know, 80-point level, I think he might get some consideration.
All right. Take care, Anthony. All right,
see you later, guys.
I keep saying one day we'll be making a sitcom about Anthony balancing being a hockey writer and a dad all the time. Phil, what do you think?
I'm going to have to go with beer here. I don't think he's good enough defensively, and – honestly, I think he's going to have to be like an 85-point defenseman. I mean, his defensive game looks like it's better. I don't know how much better it actually is. But, yeah, to this point, no, that would not be cool. And I don't know why you would ask Ranger fans that question.
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, as a Ranger fan, you'd want to see that.
So I'm gonna have to go beer. This is way too early. I mean, yeah, if the season ended today, yes, but it doesn't. So,
all right. So there you go. And guys, that is the end of Big Apple Hockey's Bar Talk with one extreme layup to begin. So there you go, Rangers Central and Core. And that about covers that. We have about maybe 5 more minutes in case if you guys want to throw in any questions. And see if there's any comments in there. This actually was one of our fastest moving shows ever.
Ever, yeah. And
yes, always Jackie Redmond for the win.
That is, yeah, unquestionable. Go always Jackie Redmond.
I do agree with Canadians don't care about the weather, and as Court brought up that the Leafs and Sabres had won in March and it worked. I just always want to see this game be marketed right. And
yeah, absolutely.
What are your thoughts on Connor Bedard so far, Phil?
Yeah, I assume that means Bedard. I mean, he looks good. He looks good. Maybe he might not be the point per game player that some of us thought. But he's got 4 goals and 6 points through 9 games. He's had some pretty big goals for them so far, too. And I like what I'm seeing. And he's doing quite a bit considering that he doesn't really have any talent around him. And I think Taylor Hall is out right now. So that's not good. And he's still producing. Yeah, Taylor Hall has only played 5 games, so he's out right now. But his shot is it's elite tier level already. Like, he is an elite NHL shooter. That's how good this kid is. So he's only gonna get better as this season goes along. I mean, do I think that there's a possibility that he hits a rookie wall? Yeah, sure. The schedule might get to him. The fact that he doesn't have the talent around him might get to him. But I think he's playing really well so far.
Are we ready for Showtime on Broadway Part 2?
I have not heard anything from people that I know from, and I'm actually just going to check something right now just to make sure I didn't get a response there from somebody that I talked to. No response yet.
I maintain what I've said all along, that right now there's no place to put him.
Yeah, there is. It's called Blake Wheeler to the waivers.
But then wouldn't you think Brennan Ottman would be there?
No, because you let Brennan Ottman develop in Hartford. And not only that, but Avery Zaretsky, who actually really got the Patrick Kane rumors going last year, and like when it started getting closer, he was the one that had everything before everybody else did. He's starting to float stuff out there again. He obviously knows something. He's got it.
I mean, obviously, Kane has a mutual interest with the Rangers.
Yeah.
The Rangers want to see what they could possibly do.
Not only that, but Kaapo Kakko doesn't seem to be contributing on that line. And I was hoping that he would come up and really start progressing. That hasn't happened. Blake Wheeler has not been good at all. He's been horrendous. He needs to sit. So you're not bringing up Brennan Ottman right now. You're letting him marinate because they're not going to blow off a year of his ELC right now. It's not going to happen. So everybody that's asking for Brennan Ottman by the end of the year, yeah, I don't think that's happening. I really don't. Slaff is improving, and he's a good part of that line. That line is playing very well right now because of Panarin. And Lafreniere you've seen the consistency in his game improve. So, I say this is really a good comment right here. If the Rangers continue to lose a couple with Wheeler, continuing to kind of like hurt them at times, then you could see him out of the lineup eventually. I think once Kane comes back, I think he's the guy.
Well, I think right now the target's squarely on him because he's making X amount of dollars. It's $845 or $850. It's not really all that much.
it was worth the risk to try him out. In the preseason, he looked okay at times with the numbers he was putting up, but he didn't look great. So I just don't know. I just don't know about that. Now, I know what Cora's saying right here. We all asked for the Rangers to be patient with their prospects, and now we want to rush Ottman. Look, the Rangers should have been patient with their prospects years ago. But instead, David Quinn decided to bench Capocacco for 2 months. And same thing with Lafreniere. Lafreniere was up and down the lineup. Now it's like, I just wonder what's going to happen with them. And I don't know. Hopefully they can all snap out. They can get something out of them. I'm asking, can they get something out of a number one and number two overall pick? I can't believe I even asked that.
Maybe Capocacco was more fitted for a third line.
Yeah. Kane is just another option. Nothing wrong with that. You don't need to be a superstar. We just need to be more solid. But my question on that is what David's bringing up right here. Any concern with the possibility with Kane returning, considering what happened with Backstrom? And that's very true. It's the same surgery. But who else had the surgery? Brad Marchand had it, right?
I believe so. I'm not 110% sure on that, but I hate this Backstrom parallel just because they had surgery. And I said that to you a couple of weeks ago. Backstrom was declining well before that hip, well before. Mm-hmm. And the numbers, and not only that, but Nicholas Backstrom was nowhere ever near as good as Patrick Kane. Patrick Kane had a bad hip and was still playing as good as Nicholas Backstrom was, if not better, actually better last year. Patrick Kane put up 6 points in 7 games in the playoffs on a bad hip.
Yeah.
Just imagine what Patrick Kane would come back and do if he comes back with the Rangers and he's healthy.
Randy's saying Marchand and Wilson both had the hips done. Brandon Marchand. I mean, Jesus, how the hell did that one come out? All right. Guys, unfortunately, I got to cut it off a little bit early. I'll have some shorts on there for you. As I mentioned before, I just took a visit to Mullet Arena. Absolutely phenomenal. Actually, everything I said you could do with that, where you could sell that as just a luxury arena. And basically, is what it is. You don't have a bad seat in the house. So, and you might be paying $120 a ticket, but they don't care. And they have good fans. They have good fans that are there going to every single game. You better be able to draw 5,000. And Matt is saying, but Wheeler is taking up a spot at this point. He was at fault for the first Jets goal, turned over the puck, and didn't back check. Wheeler's not known for his defense, guys. So,
and David, they may not need to do what they did last year to get Kane. Because I think Kane is not only that, Kane is on a different contract, or will be on a different contract, I should say, from what he was last year. And not only that, but I think if the Rangers are showing interest and they're in there, I think they believe that they'll be able to sign him for very cheap. So
my only question is, if this power play is clicking the way it is, does Kane go in there and say, I'm going on the top line? Because then the answer for me would be no. And it's like,
wouldn't you put Kane with Zibanejad and Kreider at this point? Capocacco is not really giving them anything there.
Well, I meant go on the top power play unit.
No, I don't think you put Patrick Kane there. I think you just let that power play cook with what it is, and then Kane goes on to power play two. Power play two needs help anyway.
Yeah,
they need a zone entry guy. Patrick Kane could be a zone entry guy for them.
Also, Phil, I think we're also asking a lot from a guy coming back from hip resurfacing right away. I think that fans gotta understand. That guy you think Patrick Kane is might be gone, or it won't be here for at least another year.
That guy, he doesn't have to be that guy. I said that last year.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that.
He was last year. That's it.
He just had to be the guy. All right, guys. Once again, thanks for joining us this week on the show. And obviously, we always love to talk. If you feel like having some wings, go down to Boss Burgers tonight. The 40-cent wings, and I believe we also have tacos that are available tonight, too. Chicken or beef. So, $2 tacos, I think that is. So, come on down. I'll be slinging drinks till 4 a.m., and then tomorrow I'm going to be golfing at Mill Pond, so I can't wait for that. right before the Ranger game that I can't wait to watch that, and also come back for some good cooking from my fiance. Bilk, what are you doing tonight?
Not sure. I was possibly supposed to be going to the gym. I may not do that. I may go hang out with a friend and watch AEW.
Nice. And I as well. I got to get back to the gym. But, yeah. All right. Guys, thank you very much once again for joining us. I can't say it enough. Have a good night.